Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show. Our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. Well, if you don't live in San Diego County, boy, are you missing out on a lot of fun. People have been celebrating all week regarding the latest steps taken for freedom of speech, freedom of thought, and freedom to just basically live your life as an adult by making your own choices. The San Diego County Board of Supervisors, in a 3-2 vote, passed a resolution. You know what I like about resolutions? Nothing! Anyway, what kind of resolution did they pass? Well, what better description than their own? Resolution of the Board of Supervisors of the County of San Diego declaring health misinformation a public health crisis. Now, as it happens, Supervisors Jim Desmond and Joel Anderson voted no. I know, right? Strange. Two people on the board who actually believe in liberty. How did they ever get on that board? Well, at least debate is still going on. The vote was preceded by hours of debate from people around the community showing up for the public meeting. That did include a very large number who opposed this nightmarish measure. How much longer will we even be allowed to debate such issues? Time will tell. I'm sure that the powers that be plan to allow debate in the future, at least for another 5 minutes or so. Board Chairman Nathan Fletcher was the original creator of this policy. He says, "Combating health misinformation needs to start on the ground in counties and cities across our nation. San Diego County took the first step by becoming the first local jurisdiction in the country to align its policies with the U.S. Surgeon General's recommendations to fight health misinformation. Health misinformation is a national crisis, and it requires all of us to fight against it. Speaking for myself, ladies and gentlemen, I am so proud that I live in the county that's the first local jurisdiction in the country to align the policies with the U.S. Surgeon General. I'm just ecstatic about that. Well, here is the resolution that was proposed. Hold on to your seats. This resolution directs the Chief Administrative Officer to implement the following strategies cited by the U.S. Surgeon General in his advisory. It starts, devote resources to identify and label health misinformation and disseminate timely health information to counter misinformation that is impeding our ability to keep our community safe. It continues, modernize public health communities with investments to better understand gaps in health information and questions and concerns of the community, especially in hard-to-reach communities. Develop targeted community engagement strategies, including partnerships with trusted messengers. Expand our research efforts to better define and understand the sources of health misinformation, document and trace its costs and negative impacts, and develop strategies to address and counter it across mediums and diverse communities. Invest in resilience against health misinformation, including digital resources and training for practitioners and health workers. Explore educational programs to help our communities distinguish evidence-based information from opinion and personal stories. Okay, in case you're having trouble translating that last one, your old pal Bob will translate it for you. I'm not a mind reader, but I think this is a good educated guess. It means we're going to be told that anyone removed from YouTube or Facebook or Twitter, for example, other platforms too, but those as examples, anyone removed from there is giving misinformation, even if they themselves are part of the medical community. People we might have listened to, people we did listen to not long ago, people that would at least be given a chance to be heard in the spirit of debate had COVID-19 not become the politically correct disease and the vaccine had not become the politically correct cure. Look, I can't say this too many times. I take COVID very, very seriously. I have a friend who died of COVID. I have other dear friends who almost died but thankfully recovered. And I have never told anyone not to take the vaccine. However, as you've often heard me say on this radio show, believing this disease is a real threat and recognizing that for the last 2 years it's been exploited by governments, local and national alike, to take more control of our lives are two truths held in delicate balance. They are not mutually exclusive observations. The objectives of the resolution continue. Partner with federal, state, territorial, tribal, private, nonprofit, research, and other local entities to identify best practices to stop the spread of health misinformation and develop and implement coordinated recommendations. Identify resource gaps to combating health misinformation and working with state and federal partners to meet ongoing needs. And finally, last but not least, work with the medical community and local partners to develop a website that will serve as a central resource for combating health misinformation. Okay, that's the resolution. Maybe you like it. If you like it, that's fine. But maybe you view it as a prelude to suspending rights granted in our Constitution. Well, if you're in the latter category, have no fear. Rest assured, Chairman Fletcher says this will not infringe upon free speech. That was a close one. Yes, Fletcher said, and I quote, "Nothing in this measure will take away anyone's right to free speech, but this will empower medical experts to lend their knowledge to provide people with info about what they may be hearing. Our efforts today are to help us in the cause to get beyond COVID-19. I can promise you that no one ever ran for public office saying, I want to close businesses. I want to wear masks. We want to get out of this pandemic without any closures or further mandates." Well, my friends, once again, something I've said before. I do say a lot of things over and over again on this show because things keep coming up. It's like one of those old turntables. It goes around, it comes around. Anyway, when someone goes out of his way to promise that free speech is not going to be infringed upon, it's only because people see such obvious restriction off in the horizon. Otherwise, it wouldn't have come up. Did you notice that in his response, he said no politician likes to close businesses or enforce masks? Okay. But of course, the point is that much as it pains our altruistic leaders to do such things, it has been done, obviously, and if necessary, it will be done again. Maybe they don't want to do it, but they will if they have to. That's the point. Now, call me a romantic. I just have to wonder, will we someday down the road hear, no politician wants to suppress free speech, but hey, this is a health crisis. Honestly, it's really amazing beyond belief that they expect us to accept this drivel. They don't plan to suppress free speech somewhere down the road. No, of course not. They just plan to label anyone who speaks against the standardized narrative as one disseminating false, dangerous information. Essentially, speaking out against the vaccine will be likened to not caring about human lives because you're doing something dangerous, which is only a hop, skip, and a jump from calling someone a murderer. There are pundits on TV who have already used the word murderer. And they also plan to broaden local powers in a time of national health crisis, quote unquote. Now, the exact extent and limits of the broadening are not exactly defined, but they have just passed a resolution. This isn't conspiracy theory, folks. These are their own words, their own words. You just heard me read the resolution. They are, for all intents and purposes, declaring an emergency with the word crisis, which is only a hair away from the word emergency. Resolutions about a crisis never morph into emergency legislation. They never become emergency mandates. They never become emergency executive orders. Oh, no, of course not. Remember the lockdown? Well, how can you forget? If you forgot, don't worry. It's probably coming soon to a neighborhood near you. It will all depend on whether Newsom gets recalled or instead gets emboldened for surviving the recall. But for now, I am sure your memories cannot be that short. in the state of California, in many other states. What started as resolutions or guidance became emergency health mandates, temporary so-called. If you want an example of how much Nathan Fletcher respects free speech, keep in mind that he described the many dissenters who attended the meeting as mostly right-wing anti-vaxxers. That's the new lingo. That's the new label. You're an anti-vaxxer. Well, who wants to be an anti-anything? Well, I don't mind being anti-arrogance. I don't mind being anti-too much power, Mr. Fletcher. There are many people who have taken the vaccine, who still don't believe it should be forced on everybody. Those with this viewpoint exist on the left as well as the right. They represent not just the common man, not just the common woman or politicians, but many, many doctors, credentialed, peer-reviewed, including epidemiologists. And while we're in the middle of labeling those horrible right-wingers as if any position on the right couldn't possibly have anything to do with truth or genuine conviction or actual facts or standards, let me just say again, it's not merely the right. 60% of African Americans are not vaccinated. Now, there is a Blexit movement from the Democratic Party. Still, at the moment, most African Americans vote Democrat. So obviously, Mr. Fletcher, not everyone against the vaccine is right wing, and not everyone who opposes forcing the vaccine, whether they've had it or not, is anti-vaccine. Also, PhDs make up the next biggest group of people who question the vaccine. And PhDs in the last election voted overwhelmingly Democrat. Also, and I won't keep belaboring the point, somebody who has a PhD may just be familiar with a fact or two. I'm not saying I've always agreed with everything a PhD says, because other PhDs sometimes contradict them, sometimes argue, sometimes debate. There we are again, getting back to debate. However, it's no small thing to obtain a PhD. And so if somebody has a PhD, I wouldn't be so quick to use the word misinformation without at least hearing the guy out, hearing the woman out. One more comment about your term right wingers. How often do we hear authorities use the term left wingers? There is no right wing without a left wing. Such is the nature of wings. Left wing beliefs are, by definition, the opposite of right wing beliefs, and vice versa. So let's just cool it in the wing discussion. And in that vein, I will myself cool things down for a moment. My rant, and I guess you could call it a rant, my rant was about the issue itself. Depending on the situation, I often speak with cynicism. I often speak with passion. I believe there is a place for that. And the more important the issue, the more I need to strongly emphasize it. The more I need to share my own heart, my own emotions. Still, I did mention already that I'm not a mind reader. I'm not. And let me expand on that point. I do not know any of the members of the San Diego County Board of Supervisors. I don't know the ones who voted for this. I don't know the ones who voted against this. I spoke in a somewhat serious but also somewhat tongue-in-cheek manner to Supervisor Chairman Fletcher. If you follow this show or if you follow other shows, you know that's a rhetorical device used often by media pundits. I doubt very seriously that Supervisor Fletcher was listening. I'm not that well known. If he was, or if it got back to him what I said, if he wanted to come on my show to respond, he would certainly be welcome. And he would be treated with respect, as every person on this show, even those whom I debate, have been treated with respect. Mind you, I would make the same points, but it would be a civil dialogue. Again, I do not know the man. He may be the nicest guy in the world. All I was responding to were his public statements. Since he's a public figure, his statements are fair game. His motives, however, are unknown to me. He may sincerely believe everything he's doing and everything he's saying. I do appreciate that he allowed discussion, as is the custom at open council meetings. I don't appreciate his statement about right-wingers, but even there, I gotta tell you, I know so many people who have those kinds of viewpoints about conservatives. They are very sincere. They are very sincerely mistaken. Anyway, I wanted to add that before we wind down. That doesn't mean I retract anything I said. I don't. I stand by every single word. But I did want to acknowledge that I do not know Chairman Fletcher or the others. I have met my share of politicians and interviewed my share of politicians. This time, I am reacting only to their statements. I am very aware that public persona and one's demeanor in person can be very different matters, or one's inner self, one's inner heart. None of us can know that. So I give them the benefit of the doubt. But while calling out ideas themselves that I think are dangerous despite any good intentions, I will make my point with full gusto and by fully making the obvious obvious.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.